Welcome to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. We're really grateful that you're here with us today. We're actually now going to engage in part two of this section on electronics. So the things we're going to talk about here are following up on what we started to talk about in our last podcast episode. I'm here with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands. And Elena, I'm glad you're here. I'm grateful to be talking about this subject with you.
Hi, Dr. Scott, and hi, everyone listening. Indeed, part two of our conversation on electronics, technology, and all the social media related, and how to engage our children and ourselves as parents and to help them have a healthy relationship with their devices and to help them focus on what's important actually in their lives. In the last episode, we spoke about how parents of young children should be firm and should develop a strong relationship with their children. So it helps, when it comes to actually having a very good discipline in their devices use. And this episode, we want to talk about giving some practical advice for parents who deal with children, teens, perhaps, who are actually already having big challenges or bigger challenges with letting go of their devices. And I know that can be very difficult. So Dr. Scott is going to give us another quick introduction in what devices addiction is. I know we spoke a bit about it last time, Dr. Scott, but perhaps we should remind parents what that is and get started with that.
I think that parents need to understand what happens in the brain and the heart of a person who overindulges in electronics. There's this heightened stimulation in the brain that creates the constant fight or flight reaction, and it triggers often unhealthy emotional activity. So these children have a greater propensity then to experience disappointment or anger or anxiety, and so we want to be careful of that. Each child's different, of course, and not all children respond the same. But we do see a greater emotional challenges in children when we have high use of electronics. There's this chemical release and depletion in the brain that are intensified with high electronics use. The emotional imbalance that takes place is striking in some cases. We have violent behavior. Certainly when children watch violent video games, it increases anger because they learn that solving problems is by blowing people up or overcoming them with power. I think sometimes we have the obsession with social media, which increases anxiety and depression. I think that here's an interesting realization, and we can feel this as parents too, because when we have electronics overload in our lives, then silence creates anxiety instead of peace. That's really interesting. Silence creates anxiety instead of peace. Boredom creates a vacuum in a person's life. And if it's filled with electronics, then, well, often the creativity processes are reduced. Boredom is a great thing. When children say, "I'm bored," we don't say, "Okay, well, you can play with electronics for a while." We say, "Okay, being bored is a good thing. You'll learn." There are lots of things you can do besides being besides electronics to deal with boredom. And they require creativity or initiative or work. I think sometimes we have children who postpone responsibilities or get out of chores and so on, or they just delay them because of their immaturity. So productivity is decreased in the lives of these children because of electronics. I think that social media in general lacks relational depth for children compared to face-to-face communication. So that's why it increases loneliness, I think, in a lot of kids. And they don't feel relationally connected. Surprising, we're so connected with our technology, but a lot of times children don't feel as connected as they really could be. So we have to realize as Christians that electronics open the pathways to worldliness in many ways, and what the world is doing, and there's a lot of comments about the world. So all these things are dangerous. I just think that we have to realize parents are also susceptible to being addicted to electronics. And so making correction of children and young adults difficult because parents struggle with the same things, I think.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we hear often teens or young adults who are correcting their children or their parents when it comes to their own use of technology. And if you see your parent always having their phone or always with their head on their phone then it's not the best way to give as an example. So indeed, I think it's so important to, as parents, reflect on our own use of devices. And I think sometimes we don't realize how much impact does that have on our own children. So Dr. Scott, I know you've worked with many families and many children who are struggling with their devices use. What would be some practical tips, some practical advice that you would give parents and children of all ages when it comes to, yeah, to having to going back to a healthy relationship with their devices?
Well, let's start with what parents believe and how parents think. I think that sometimes parents believe that, oh, my child has to have a cell phone for safety reasons. And I think that there are some benefits to having a cell phone for safety reasons, but there are also dangers associated with having a cell phone. So if we're not careful, that very thing we want to keep our children safe turns into this very dangerous thing that a child has because of their access to all kinds of things. You know, I work with parents of teenagers, and it's not uncommon for a young person to find themselves in a group text situation that they didn't invite themselves into. They were placed into a group text situation where now they have foul language. They're passing around pictures that are inappropriate and laughing about it. And these children, you know, they didn't invite themselves. What do you do in that situation? Children need to know how to handle these kind of things. I think there's a lot of things that parents can do to help manage technology with their children. I would say from the outset, we want to avoid screen time with young children. I postpone smartphones as long as you can, to maybe even until later teens, if possible. I mean, that's really hard nowadays, but the longer you can wait to give a child a phone, the better. And certainly if a child's using the phone unproductively and getting themselves into trouble, that's great reason to take it away from them because they can't handle it well. Rarely can a child today handle have the skills necessary to manage technology. I think we can inspire our kids. Let's just not talk about what we can't do, but I'm going to inspire them to healthier choices about entertainment and comfort, creativity, reading, physical activity. Children use phones for comfort. I saw a young girl, she fell down and skinned her knee. She was outside and mom went to comfort her and she says, I want my iPad. Why? Because the iPad was her form of comfort. Just give me my iPad for comfort. Children often go to sleep watching iPads. You got to be careful with all these things. I don't think they're all that helpful. And we can use other ways if we parent children to do those things. I think it's important with teenagers to park cell phones overnight and during meals and in the car and during family time. There's just times when we park the cell phones for both adults and children so that we can maximize the relational time that we want. I think we want to set limits on the availability of electronics, that we can only have them at certain times. We want to prevent children from using electronics in private places a lot of times, such as bedrooms. Put computers in common areas. I think it's really a helpful thing so we can monitor what's actually going on when children are using these computers. It's really common for children to be working on schoolwork online while at the same time watching a YouTube video or something else. I just don't think it's productive. Children aren't learning how to focus on what they need to do without being distracted by cell phones or by computerized technology at the same time. Another thing I think is really helpful is when children use headphones and walk around the house, they become unavailable. It's like they're walking around as zombies in our house. And I think what we want to do is we want to tell children, if you're going to walk around the house with headphones, then you'd have one headphone out because it shows that you're available. So I think it's a great solution that children can have. Of course, parental controls are available for the internet and cellular activity. But many children know more about technology than their parents. So we have to do some work here to stay on top of this, limit the apps and the content children and young people have access to. I think requiring accountability is good. Let me check your phone. I want to see your internet history and what you're texting about and your social media history. There are apps that monitor electronics use. I'm not up on the latest ones, but I know every generation has new ones. Every few years, they come up with new stuff. So get some apps that monitor electronics use, and it'll help do in this whole accountability area. You're going to monitor the time that they're on it and the content that they experience. I think we also have to be proactive in this area of teaching about worldliness, because children are bombarded with ideas about power, about men's and women's roles, about sexuality, about Christianity. And we need to help them understand what is appropriate and what is good, and teach them. We have to be proactive in that. And I think we need to have family times in our families that don't involve electronics. I think you use electronics in a good way. I mean, texting, if your child has a phone, then using texting to encourage them in the course of the day is great. I mean, it can encourage them to be interacting with you, sharing their life. And so I think there's some good uses. We just have to be able to balance all this so that children can benefit the most from the good side of technology without getting into the pitfalls that make it dangerous.
Yeah, I think it's so important to actually be intentional and not to just let things go with the flow when it comes to this. And it can be hard work. It can be hard work to always be on, switched on, to be able to keep an eye on things and to be able to be aware of what your children are doing. And it can be tiring for parents, but it also can be so rewarding. And I really encourage parents to really look at how beneficial can be for children in the long term, for them to replace some of these habits with of using devices, with actually doing some form of activities, whether it's sports, whether it's reading. It really does help. And I actually heard many times that a lot of the executives who are actually working for these tech firms, who have invented these devices, are not allowing their children to have these devices, or are not allowing them to be on social media, which I think it's such a interesting thing to know, that somebody who actually invented the iPhone is not allowing their child to have the iPhone, or somebody who invented Facebook is not allowing their own children to be on Facebook. I think that's quite interesting. So it also shows that just because something is out there, it's not the best use for your child. And so I fully encourage parents to consider very well how they're letting their children and their teens and then young children engage further. And we do offer advice in our coaching program. If parents are interested to learn more about strategies, tools, techniques that we're teaching, we're coaching them to help develop a better relationship, to help develop better habits in their children. We really encourage them to have a look at biblicalparenting.org. And we have a lot of materials there, but also there's the parenting coaching that we're doing, and we would be excited to hear from them if you need help as parents. Dr. Scott, what would you say to parents who are really experiencing very difficult moments, and some of these advice you are giving is already kind of past its days, and they have teens, they have children who are really struggling, maybe with depression, many with anxiety, isolation. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, when we have a crisis, so we get to change the rules. So keep that in mind. You may feel the pressure right now, electronics isn't good. When all of a sudden your child has a emotional breakdown, or is getting F's at school, or we have some kind of crisis that takes place, it's an opportunity to change the rules. So we say, okay, here's what we're going to do now. Children even expect it. We're going to change the rules because now we have this crisis of sorts. And I think at that point, we can make some adjustments. When electronics addiction is severe, that's not always the case, but when it is severe, then I think we need to consider a fast from electronics. It usually takes 3 to 5 weeks to return the brain and heart to a more healthy state, we're finding. And a person isn't so addicted to the electronics. I think we also have to be firm recognizing that resistance and emotional dramatics, those are symptoms of addiction. And so we're not going to allow those to continue on. I like what you're saying, Elena, is get help. I mean, we offer help at the National Center for Biblical Parenting. We don't want to allow addiction to continue. Others are trained to support you as a parent and your young person, so you can get help that way. I think we want to create new patterns in the way that our family operates, to moderate electronics, to move away from obsession and dependence and fixation on some of the things that take place. So if we can infuse family life with healthy doses of spiritual and relational activity, good things can happen. We want our children to be able to be healthy. Electronics sometimes gets in the way. But let's try to balance the good side of electronics and the challenges that take place so that we can raise children who are healthy and can function in a world where they can understand that God is our creator and he's the one who wants to be the one dictating our life. I think if Paul would have been writing in Ephesians 5, he would say, do not get drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think he would say, do not overly use electronics, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just think that's the kind of thing that takes place. Hey, are our kids filled with the Holy Spirit? Do they know what that looks like? Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. And but it takes some work on the side of parents to train them.
Yeah. And I think it's so critically important for parents to remember that it doesn't have to be a major, major change from day one. It can be done step by step in small steps, starting with building a strong relationship, starting with putting away your own phone, your own device, and trying to interact and interacting more with your child. So we do encourage parents to, and we want them to see that there is hope. Dr. Scott, I know you have worked with many families who have seen successful developments in this area. So I'm sure that there is a lot of hope for parents. So don't do it alone. Don't feel that you need to struggle alone. Don't feel that there is no hope. There is hope. There is a God, a big God we're serving, and we know that he can change hearts. So praying and continually praying, finding support around you with a parenting coach, even. Dr. Scott, what other words of encouragement would you give parents in this situation?
Well, we live in an electronic age. So computers and cell phones and gadgets can be used for good, or they can be a danger. We have to know the warning signs, and we want to take action early. If we can be proactive, some good things can help here. We want to help our children develop healthy interactions with electronics to nurture their lives. So let's think in terms of being balanced, but often being balanced is really hard, and children find that to be too restrictive and difficult. So we need to be prepared as parents to take a stand, because we are not just trying to fit into society. We're not even just trying to make our children happy. We're trying to help them grow and develop. So let's be the parents and step in and do what needs to take place in order to help our children do that.
Great. Thank you so much. Indeed, there is a lot of material available at the biblicalparenting.org. There is support available, so don't wait. Don't wait too long. Get in touch. There are a lot of videos also on YouTube from Dr. Scott that are discussing and sharing a lot of other aspects of our parenting, our hard work, our heart focused parenting. So please do tap into that as well, and we are more than happy to hear your questions or to hear your thoughts. Do share this episode with other parents who you think might need it. And until the next time, we really encourage you to keep up the good work, and God bless you.